Hey, it's Kara. Welcome to Building Your Bank Podcast. I'm your personal finance coach, and I'll be giving you practical steps you can take to walk into your financial freedom.
A lot of us are involved in the spirit of poverty and don't even know it, right? So grandma put her money under the mattress.
Come on.
So since grandma put her money under the mattress and grandma saw a catfish on Fridays, it worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma said if you put it under the mattress, can't nobody come and get it. God forbid you have a house fire. The money's not fireproof, so there's your home might save. Let it go. Let it go.
Hey, everybody. This is episode 2 of Building Your Bank. I am back, your personal finance coach, Kara Ivey, and I am excited today because I have a special guest. I've been knowing this man for a very long time now, and he's one of the biggest, I would say, influences that it has helped me in my journey and being an encouraging partner and friend, and above all else, my husband. So, without further ado, Antoine, welcome to the podcast.
Wow. Thank you, honey,
You're welcome.
The warm welcome and introduction.
Of course.
Pretty excited to be able to participate and to give my perspective of, you know, the Ivy League and everything that's going on with it. So, thank you.
Thanks. All right. So, let's get down to the nitty gritty. The reason why I wanted to have you join in today and be a part of this whole podcast adventure is because with the Building Your Bank, a lot of people are either considering getting married, in serious relationships, already married, and finance and money is one of the biggest issues, or can be one of the biggest issues to affect a marriage. I know that we share similar backgrounds, but our money stories are somewhat different as far as what we learned about money, how we learned about saving, how we got into this whole thing, and even how our paths came together. So I really want to focus on you talking about where your money, introduction of money came from, and how it was getting with your girl, because that was interesting. And then just kind of like where we are now. So give us some background, if you will, Antoine, on the initial introduction that you had to money.
Well, I'll start by saying that I love money, by the way, I must say. I think it's plays an integral part into everyday life. Obviously, it's not everything, but it's a very important aspect in a marriage. But I was introduced to money at an early age, actually, by my dad. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'd say I was around 5 or 6. It was New Year's Eve. We were at like a family gathering. And just before midnight, my dad, he put a dollar bill in my pocket and said, "I want you to remember this for the rest of your life." He said, going into the new year with money in your pocket. And at that age, I'm like, oh, man, I'm rich. It's a dollar. Didn't really care. Didn't really, at that point in time, it didn't really hit home. Mm-hmm. I just knew that, hey, my dad put a dollar in my pocket.
Right.
And then from there, as I got older and I started learning the importance of, you know, working and providing and things like that, it really has stuck with me. And it's something that, you know, we'll probably talk about it, you know, in the future, on a few, you know, down the road. But it's something I'll pass along to my kids, and we've started doing that with our oldest child. But that's something we'll talk about later. But that's how I was introduced to money.
Okay.
Kind of in a nutshell.
Okay, sweet. So, we went to high school together, mm-hmm. but we did not start dating until we got to college, and after that we have been in running off into the sunset since 2005-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got together and we started making decisions as far as like financial decisions together, do you feel like that was a difficult merger? Because essentially we were bringing our lives, like what you knew, what you were taught, how you view money, and you said you love money, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Absolutely.
But never did you ever go and do anything that was illegal, unethical, or whatnot to provide for your family. So while you appreciate it, you still have like standards, morals, values, and God comes before all this whole money spending
stuff.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's just clarify that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, when I say I love money, I do. But at the same time, like how you broke it down, it's deeper than just loving money. When you grow up and you work hard for, you know, the money that you receive, there's a different meaning behind it. So I don't want to construe the meaning of really loving money. It's not everything, but when you work hard and, you know, you bust your butt for it, you know.
You appreciate it. You have a certain level of appreciation.
Exactly.
You value the things that you purchase, so you're not just out here just willy-nilly, you know, spending all your stuff crazy. Okay, cool. So when we met, I was 17, you were 19. I was in college struggling, you know, working a few jobs, Braden here, and you were scholarship.
Yeah.
Football, track, academic. I was more academic and then had to fill that gap in between. So I think that's, to me, is my initial, or where for me, with when it comes to us, our initial introduction for money, because of the things that I had to do to get it and the things that you had to do. It was almost like, here we are in this space looking to get an education at this private university.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you were able to pay for it allowed you, while you did work very hard, going to practice and, you know, all that, playing in those games. I'm not taking anything away from your college career.
Don't talk down on it. No.
I had to work a different type of mm-hmm. way to get the same results. So, okay, we graduate, we have Kaylin, we move in together. And I think that is where it was like, dun, 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 dun.
Absolutely.
Because here we are now having two different backgrounds, because you said your dad told you as a child, don't mm-hmm. ever go, for example, going to the new year without a dollar in the pocket. My mm-hmm. parents, we were thinking about that,
mm-hmm.
right? So there were certain things you were thinking about as far as making sure that you had enough to provide, making sure that you were in a position to take care of your child, now mm-hmm. your girl. And I was just more so like aware of what I needed to do, but in a sense trying to still figure out how to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Kaylin, and I don't know that we actually had a financial plan when we had her.
I don't think we did.
Not together.
No.
We may have both had our own separate idea of what we wanted to do with our money, but we didn't come together and say, like, okay, this is what we're going to do for this child to make sure that she's okay until, like, later on down the line.
Yeah, because I was, you know, growing up with the whole money aspect things, I was always, like, my biggest fear always was to not be able to provide. So it didn't take until a few years, and I believe until our marriage, to where we sat down to come up, you know, with kind of a financial plan. That was after Kaylin was born,
right?
Because I've always been this person, okay, you tell me how much and
mm-hmm.
and then I make sure, you know, it happens. That's just kind of was my upbringing, and not to say that it was, that works well for everyone, because within a marriage there has to be a lot of transparency there, you
right.
know. And I think that played a big part, you know, for me to be able to, because I've gone through situations to where after college, I was fortunate enough to not have to, you know, break the bank in college to pay for, you know, education.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the toughest decisions that I made, that's as this was going into my freshman year of college, I was trying to decide where I wanted to go. I had opportunities to where I could have gone to some bigger schools and paid more out of pocket, or going somewhere where it was almost completely, totally free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of my thinking at a younger age of making that decision. This may not be the sexiest pick, but in the long run, it was probably the best for me from a financial standpoint. That's what I did. And I think that's kind of transitioned into our everyday life as far as the whole financial situation. So
I like that. And then meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm just trying to go to college.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, $40,000 of student loans later, here
yeah.
we are. So we have, like, the decisions that we've made in our early lives have affected and poured over into our financially have poured over into our marriage. Yeah, and absolutely. I think that, you know, in love is a beautiful thing, and, you know, God makes a way out of no way all the time, perform miracles, but those are things to also consider.
Absolutely.
When we sat down, we did not have a financial plan when we initially got married. We were just like, oh, we so in love, and we just gonna figure it out.
we're just going.
We scratching and surviving. We just loving each other. But love, you know, just the landlord was still looking at the apartment for the rent, and love was not going to cash that check. So,
Kaylin got bigger.
Right?
Diaper prices got more expensive. Right. Shoes got more expensive as she got older.
We did a lot of stuff. All right. So, I guess my question is, if we could take two steps back and we could not necessarily change our walk, but if there's some things that we could have done as far as conversations we could have held, steps that we could have taken at the very beginning of our marriage, what do you think would have put us in a position where we could have started off earlier and a lot stronger financially?
I think, like, looking back now, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I could have done this different, but we were more, I think, not having that plan at first, and then kind of when a situation presented itself, reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we would have kind of, like you said, backtracked a little bit, been more, a little bit more proactive. Mm-hmm. And I think what opened my eyes, and this probably, I think this happened to both of us, was that first time I was ever laid off, and I'm mm-hmm. like, uh-oh, this is real. Wasn't expecting it. We had a major layoff for the whole Eastern division. Mm-hmm. And it's like, from that day on, I was like, all right, not that, you know, I wasn't in a situation to be okay temporarily for, you know, during that time, but it was an eye-opener, like, oh, this is real.
Right.
And I'm like, I remember calling you, and I'm like, hey, guess what? that meeting that they said we were having,
I remember.
I survived the first wave, but mm-hmm. there's some more cuts coming. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, what's going on? And then I think a few weeks later, I'm like, hey, yeah, it was real.
Mm-hmm.
It was real. They couldn't save everybody. So mm-hmm. I think that day on, it really kind of hit home, and I'm like, all right, this tomorrow's not promised, mm-hmm. you know.
And neither is your job.
Be here, right? Neither. So I'm like, man, if this does happen, we have to set something up to where we're gonna be straight, you know. So, and I think from that day on, that kind of triggered the, you know, this right. Within us, we sat down, we talked about it, and we put a plan together, and it's kind of, we've been kind of sticking to it. Not to say that, hey, you put a plan together, it's going to work 100%. I mean, you have to, you know, alter it a little bit, fine tune it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
So, it's safe to say that we should have, or could have, had more of, because when you did get laid off, we were fine as it relates to bills. And it worked out because we were able to both find employment, gainful employment.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work for everybody.
No.
Right? So it's safe to say that as soon as you're able to start saving. And it's also safe to say, or a good thing to say, have these conversations with people who you plan to build with. Yep. Right? Like, I think one of the coolest things about us being together was that we shared a lot of the same values and morals. And when it came to having priorities, saying, hey, this is our family, this comes first. Because by now it's me, you, Kaylin, and Hershey. Hershey's the dog. and we're like, hey, we want to do all that we can to make sure that we're okay. Everybody doesn't necessarily share those same values. Mm-hmm. Some might find it more important to travel, especially considering we were younger. Some might find it more important to continue education, going on to graduate school. Some might find it more important to make a major purchase, home buying, mm-hmm. cars, that sort of thing. So it's good to make sure that the person that you are with, whether it be a person that's like, hey, this is my fiance going into spouse, a person that you're dating that is like, this is somewhat, could go somewhat serious. It's good to have conversations to make sure that you're on the same page. Because lots of people get into situations, and it's not until you're in the situation that you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We don't look at a lot of things the same. And one is how we use our money. Okay, so we're a somewhat non-traditional married couple when you think about bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
We do not share. We have one joint account, mm-hmm. but we also have separate accounts. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I had this conversation with my granny, and she's like, "Why do you guys not have a joint account?" And da 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 da. And I'm just like, "We just choose not to. It's not like he's hiding money from me. I'm hiding money from him. We come together with our number. We know and have access to it. We just don't have it with each other." So another thing that I think is important to not only recognize after you have these conversations and with defining and understanding the person that you're with is how are you now going to handle these things?
Yes.
So you've got bank accounts that you might join together that you may not join together. Previous debt,
mm-hmm.
right? So there were a lot of decisions that I made before we got married. That includes going to college. And part of my education was student loans.
Mm-hmm.
So when you took me for better or worse, Sally Mae was the worst part. Unsubsidized loans were a part of that worst.
Yeah, too much for Sally.
Right. So it's beautiful to fall in love, and it's amazing. But just being really on the same page when it comes to these things early on, which is why I definitely encourage financial counseling as a part of the premarital process.
Mm-hmm.
Know who you're getting with and how the habits that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like when we initially met, I was a very much emotional spender, just kind of doing my thing, hey, what's the target? Yeah, we had a good day. Do you feel like that could have been a hindrance to the progression of our marriage had it not chilled out?
I think each situation is a little bit different. One, it's a matter of knowing your spouse and just to kind of backtrack. So we you had your own account, mm-hmm. I had my own account, and we kind of kept things separate that way. Now we still have those accounts that are separate, but we do have our joint account as well. But the big thing, that the word that you mentioned that's important is that they're accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was a situation to where it's like, oh, what do you have going on over there? And I'm like, don't worry about it. And you have no idea of it. You know, that could have been a big thing, in which at first it was a big transition for both of us, mm-hmm. when we first got married and we were starting to combine some things. I think as time went on, we grew that deeper connection and we're like, all right, those situations happen with employment, layoffs. I think it truly takes something. We can easily say here talking today that, hey, this is what worked for us. We mm-hmm. did this. Not to say it's going to work for Jim and Jane out next door. This is just a part. This is what worked for us. Everyone has to figure out what works for them. And it may take for someone to my wake-up call was me getting laid off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to take a situation to happen for a lot of people before this really hits home with them and they start, planning and prioritizing their finances to better themselves in the future. So I just kind of want to hit on that really quick. But I think from when we got together, I mean, I like things too. So like you said, you would go to Target and you would make a purchase and be like, oh, I feel better now.
You would go to Foot
Locker. And I would go to, I would go to Foot Locker and be like, oh, well, I bought this too. And I feel better too. But at the same time, we're always going to have our moments,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you have to make sure when, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, you're not like that moment that you had.
Being paying for it.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like, oh, I shouldn't have had that moment.
Okay, so this is a cool little walk down our marriage that we've got going on here. So this is nice. You getting all extra deep on me today.
I told you I was gonna start talking. All
right. So we didn't have a plan. It worked out, but we definitely encourage individuals when you are in the process of becoming serious, getting serious, mm-hmm. getting married, going through counseling, sit down, look at what you bring to the table, right? So mm-hmm. everybody always wanna look for someone and has family values, strong, love them, loving, want to have children, but how you handle finances, what you know about money, what we're willing to learn together about mm-hmm. money it also makes a difference, mm-hmm. right? Big purchases such as homes, vehicles, even lending money to family members, right? Like, I think all those things are important to discuss and mm-hmm. to sort of have planned, because we know that money can cause a lot of ruckus in a household.
Absolutely.
And not having a clear understanding of how each other handles money or what one person would do. Because, for example, I would give my shirt off my back mm-hmm. without asking any questions. You'll take one sleeve out of your shirt, but then as you take another sleeve out, you're like, hold on, wait a minute, let's see. So if I were to just take my shirt off and give it to someone, and we've had these conversations mm-hmm. slash debates before, it's like, Kara, what you doing? Like, you go, hold on, wait a minute. Whereas with me, I'm like, Twan, what's taking so long? Why are you? So it's important to know your spouse.
Yeah.
Right? And knowing how they make the decisions that they make, and then making sure that you guys agree on the decisions. So, or let me say that you guys come to a mutual understanding on how things are going to be handled, because it won't always be in favor of the other person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there have been times where we've come to the middle ground and just been like, okay, somebody asking to borrow, for example, $1,000. Mm-hmm. We're just, no, this time we have to say no. Or yes, but this is the deadline that goes behind it. And neither party really wanting to go with yes, go ahead and do it 100%, or no, don't do it at all. We've had to come to common ground for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, there's been, you know, multiple situations that we've experienced as far as when it comes to money, whether it's, like you said, you were more so, hey, here's my shirt, I'll figure it out later. I was more so of, hold on, like, how is this going to affect us?
Right.
You know. So.
And now we both like, before we take this shirt off.
Yeah. Now we're doing it more in.
Let me go talk to Twan, because I think that's important. I was very used to making decisions on my own mm-hmm. because it was like, it's me. I'm mm-hmm. doing my thing. Coming into like us agreeing on, hey, this is how we're going to make these decisions. These are the purchases that we're going to make together. This large sum of money needs to come away from our household for whatever reason. How do you want to handle this? Those conversations have to be had.
Yeah.
All right, let's, a couple other things I want to address with our money handling and marriage. Budgeting, right? So we have money dates. Mm-hmm. And the way we budget in our household, I don't 100% agree. But it's cool.
Okay.
So, the budget is essentially we come together, we sit down, and then Antoine likes to have everything given to him on a weekly basis because he likes to know what has to be taken care of by the week. I like to have a monthly overview, and I also don't feel like I should have to tell you every week what we're doing. But I wave the white flag, and I do it. And we did not discover this, though, what our preferred method of budgeting is, until we had this conversation and until we had some trial and error and we had some budgeting. So can we say that we feel like money dates are important?
Yeah, for sure. I just like to see stuff.
I know.
You know, that's me. You know, I don't care if we do it weekly or monthly.
Yes, you do. But don't lie to the people. Don't lie to the people.
Hey, just give me notice and then we get it taken care of. My biggest thing, and this is something I'm applying like every day at work, is you have to be organized in this money budgeting thing, because if you're not, you're just going to, you know, stuff mm-hmm. come from left, right, here, there, east, west. So one thing I can say that, you know, was my biggest pet peeve at first was, let's just shoot from the hip and go with it. But the more organized we are, it's helped me, not only with just from personal, you know, from personal standpoint, but also from a professional standpoint within, you know, the type of work that I do. But so organization is going to be key, along with communication with your spouse. So I'm still a work in progress, you know.
No, I think you do great.
So I would say that, but you know, you help getting me together, you know.
It's so funny because I think we've switched. You were initially in our marriage the person that was more like, you had an idea of what you mm-hmm. wanted to accomplish, where you wanted to be, but I think I just accompanied with the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially I was all just kind of like, whatever needs to be done, I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll figure it out later. Thus the credit card debt. Where you were always very like mindful of how you spend your money. Mm-hmm. And so now we've managed to marry. I have always had organizational skills, but I just didn't always implement them when it came to spending money. I just didn't. It's just what it is. So now with the organization, the conversations and the communication, we marry those things, and I think it's working best. So identifying strengths in your partner.
Yeah.
And knowing the areas of opportunity in your partner are important, because I'm the organized one, but you're the calculated when it came to spending. Mm-hmm. You're the calculated spender. So when we come together and we have the money dates, it works great, because it's like I can plan it all out and you could just, we could put the strategy behind it together.
Yeah.
So we've got three things that are important: understanding and having the being proactive versus being reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that before you jump into marriage or anything serious with someone, you really understand what they believe in, how they value certain things, what's important. I mean, certain people are just gonna get a mama what they ask for, right? Like, mama gonna get it.
Yeah.
And then for some other people, it's like, I don't know. So having these conversations beforehand, knowing how the person operates, being on one accord, really understanding how the people, how a person is before making a decision. And then also having a plan, right? So creating a plan, really working that plan. Plans change. We had another child. We got another dog. I started a business. Mm-hmm. So our plan has breath. It has life. It is constantly moving. It's constantly shaking. And then also identifying the strengths, right? So we've identified each other's strong points. We've identified the other person's areas of opportunity. And we try to bring that to each other's attention when it gets like too far left.
Absolutely.
Fair? Okay. This is good, honey. All right. So one of the last things that I really want us to talk about is like where we're headed and what do we feel like is important. Oh, sorry, my bracelets. You're right. what's important when it comes to family, specifically Black family, right? Because for me and us, we're African Americans who come from, we didn't have silver spoons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we're learning here is between what we've read, what we've attended, class we've attended, and then trial and error. Life throwing its curveballs, us being on our toes, making adjustments and changes. Everyone or most people don't necessarily have the privilege or the guts and or the I don't know, I guess determination to go and make things happen. What are some easy things married couples can start to do? What do you think? I'll share what I think. But what are some easy steps that people can start to take that won't be so intimidating to just building a better future for themselves, their children, their children's children? What can we do?
I mean, I think the whole thing of just kind of just communicating. You got to put everything out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put, you know, hey, I'm going to put these few things here, but I'm going to hold on to this. You have to just put everything there. You have to have that respect and that confidence in your partner to where it's, especially if it's someone you're willing to spend the rest of your life with, what she has or what he has going on, her debt is your debt, your debt's her debt. Y'all are, as long as y'all come together and become a team, I think that's going to be the key. Communicating, putting it all out on the table, and having those uncomfortable conversations.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I agree.
That's it. Biggest thing for me was having that uncomfortable conversation. I just used to kind of, I wasn't a big talker to blow it off. But once you get past that part, you know, and there's that, like I said this word a few times today already, that transparency. Once that's there, you know, the vision and the plan will fall in place.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to have the discipline to put it all on the, you have to have the confidence to put it out on the table,
mm-hmm.
get through the uncomfortable conversation, and then the discipline to make the plan work. That's it.
I like it.
You know, it's not nothing that's really deep or hard about. I mean, it's gonna be tough finding the discipline to do it, because you have to break those old habits and you have to prioritize what's important to you. But once you get that point down, I think everything else will kind of work its way through and play it out how it's supposed to.
I agree. I think honesty, like you mentioned, the whole transparency was huge, because I did not initially want to come up. I mean, I knew you knew I had student loans, but the question was how much, right? You knew that I was a terrible spender, but how bad? You knew that I lacked some financial information, but it was like, how? And not saying that, you know, you were just like, but I think you were a lot further along when it came to the discipline of spending than I was initially. And it can be somewhat intimidating to be with someone where you don't necessarily, you have similar backgrounds, but certain things you do differently. And you've got to be okay with not being the strongest of the strongest all the time. I have somewhat of that whole, like, I used to have rather that independent woman complex. So I used to be like, I got this, I could figure it out. I could, but what's the point of being married and together if we can't lean on each other and depend on each other? And then now it's just like, I try to break those barriers. And these are things that are a part of me that have nothing essentially or directly to do with money, but affect how I use it, how I spent it, how we handled it at first. So definitely the whole honesty and communication. We have our money dates. We talk about, hey, this is what's going on. You know, we've got X, Y, and Z to do this month. Let's figure out a plan on how to get it done. Like you said, respect. If you are the person who has the better spending habits or the better saving habits, I should say, then don't make the other person feel bad for not being that strong. You've never made me feel like, oh my God, you just walk in credit card debt. You never made me feel like just a big interest rate. You never made me feel like that. And I hope that I've never made you feel like you were just this unorganized guy who wanted to make sure he wanted to take a dollar into the new year. Like, I hope that we were able to, we felt, because I've always felt this, I hope there was a mutual respect about our differences. And then really using our differences that are strong to help the other person out. And then the vulnerability. Vulnerability is a big deal too. So I think I agree with you, honey.
So, like, at the end of the day, it's like a team. You got different players on the team that's that are better at certain aspects of the game that you're not. So in certain situations, you got your shooters, you got your rebounders, you got your point guard who's going to navigate things like that. You just got to look at it that way, you know. And once you guys kind of sit down and figure out who's going to do what, who's stronger at this than that, and once you put it all together, you just, that's how you just got to apply
that's
it.
That's how you win.
Every day. Exactly. So.
And Jesus is the coach.
There you go.
Cool. So, I really enjoyed this conversation with you today, Antoine.
It's been fun.
I feel like you got real deep once you got on the podcast, because you don't be trying to be this deep with me at home.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Just playing.
I got to do it every day. No, I'm just playing.
I hope that this was beneficial, right, to people who have been married, because we're constantly still, even now, making changes. I left AAA a while ago, and it's like, oh yeah, that causes the plan to shift, a plan we prepare for, but there was still a shift. And there are things that have come up that have been like, oh, we're gonna throw this little, you know, curveball life, but we're still making it, we're making it happen, and we're making it work. So I hope that this does help people who are already in that situation, and then those who are considering marrying an individual, just really having that conversation. Like you said, we got to have the crucial conversation of, hey, what do you think? How do you feel about, you know, credit card debt? Or do you feel like we should lend out certain amounts of money to family members? Because those things cause issues. Those things cause big time issues. And one person, you just like, I'm gonna just help my aunt real quick, give her this money. Next thing you know, aunt is gone. And, you know, you and your spouse are the ones eating ramen noodles trying to figure out, you know, how you're going to bounce back from this setback. So it's important to have these things up front to agree on what we're going to do, how we're going to handle it, who we might not lend to, who we will lend to. So that way it doesn't cause hardship between the two of you. So, yeah, Twan, thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'll be a guest anytime.
You'll be around. And thanks for everyone for listening. Don't forget to go to the Facebook page, like the Facebook page, the Ivy League LLC. Don't forget, we'll be taking questions soon. So it'll be, just email us at KaraIvy@theIvyLeagueLLC.com. There will definitely be more conversations with Twan and I, because he offers a very great perspective, one that I think people will enjoy and will be able to get a lot from. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.